Columbus, the fan. The Columbus Blue Jackets are ready to drop the puck on their 25th anniversary season. This is the Season Preview Show, brought to you by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Here with the Season Preview Show are Bob Megelli, Jody Shelley, Jean-Luc Grandpierre, and Dylan Tyre.
Well, the Blue Jackets' final roster is set for opening night, and here's what it is. The forwards, Charlie Coyle, Cole Sillinger, Dmitry Voronkov, Miles Wood, Adam Fantilli, Isaac Lundestrom, Sean Monahan, Matthew Olivier, Zach Aston, Reese Boone, Jenner, Yegor Chinnikov, Kirill Marchenko, and Kent Johnson. On defense, Jake Christensen, Denton Mateychuk, Zach Werenski, Ivan Provorov, Dante Fabro, Erica Branson, and Damon Severson. And the goaltenders are Jet Greaves and Elvis Merzlikins. Jody, I read that roster to you, and I would venture to guess there are absolutely no surprises to you. You could have predicted this roster months ago.
You know, and I think that's a great thing. I have no problem with starting the season with what you expected and what you signed. You also had a really good look at what you have in the organization. And for Jean-Luc and I, who've been the camp as players and trying to hang on to jobs every camp, it's a great feeling when you see that roster come out the day before the season starts and your name's on it. And now the job is to keep that position. And I think that really, you know, I think that this is a season where expectations are higher. So all these guys, now that they made the team, it's not like take a breath and be like, whew, I'm good. There's jostling in the depth chart, but there's also, you know, there'll be trades and movement if these guys don't play up to expectations. So good start and good camp. I will say, Jean-Luc, how's your back? Because we had a game the other day, and I was thinking about these guys in training camp. We played 1 3-period, 20-minute stop-time game, the crazy game of hockey with OAR, and my back is still sore 48 hours later.
Yeah. you think we talked yesterday, right? Can you imagine having to play 81 more of those, no, right? It's impossible. And by the way, there was no contact.
I forgot about that.
There was no contact.
Does that mean you were carrying the team? Is that why your back hurts?
No, I tried too hard for too long, and I chased guys around like Swaggy P, and I never caught him.
You were chasing him quite a bit. Yeah. A little too fancy for you, but what a crowd. Fifth line, thanks for showing up for this. That was awesome. Great experience. But to get back to the subject here, for the Blue Jackets, like Jody said, no surprises. No expected surprises. And as a young guy, it's tough going into a camp like that, but I think the group was set. I think Dean Evason, Don Waddell felt comfortable with the group from last season. You brought a couple pieces to replace some of the guys that were gone. But unlike other organization right now, this Blue Jackets team, you know, once Miles Wood and Lundestrom and Charlie Coyle were signed here and traded here, you knew pretty much what the exact roster was going to be, and that's where we sit today.
Now you think of a guy like Putia, right, who did a good job last year. Couple other players in that boat where, you know, they were probably really excited that they had the experience, and maybe they'll look back at their hockey DB 10 years from now, like we did, and say, oh yeah, that season only played 20. Then I played 50, and then I got more because, you know, it's going to be a condensed season. They're going to need a lot more bodies up here. But yeah, the competition is there. But once you sign NHL players, you know, something really spectacular has to happen.
And Dylan, what a difference a year makes. I mean, last year, new GM, new coach, nobody really had a great read on what was going on, and this couldn't be more night and day different.
No, I think the thing, kind of the general theme of training camp this year, right, was all the players were talking about how focused they were and things like that. And last year, I feel like everybody was getting adjusted, learning Dean Evason, and it's just a different vibe this year. You guys would know better than me, like, what's that like, year two of a coach or year three of a coach, compared to maybe your first training camp with a guy where everybody's trying to learn and at the same time maybe impress?
Well, I think the biggest thing for the coach is, and the players, is the new guys in don't have to go ask the coach, like, in practice, what are we doing in this drill or what are we doing in this system? They can go to the players who have been there last year and have been with the coach. And that's a good feeling as a veteran player. Even the young guys, you know, we talked to Sillinger Bob a couple weeks ago. He was excited to have the group together 10 days before opening night. And I think, you know, you have an advantage because you know how you're going to play as a team. Now, I still see adjustments with the new guys. You know, there's still some hesitation and the guys that have been here. But you play a little quicker because it's seamless. And I think at the first year, you're trying to impress. Look at Kent Johnson last year. Never played penalty kill. Dean Evason liked him on the penalty kill. He earned that spot. This year's a new story. Maybe Dean likes somebody else there. So, you know, there's advantages and disadvantages to having a reputation with the coach. But I think overall, it's having the systems and understanding what's expected of everyone.
And I think something that you said there is key for the Blue Jackets, too, that, you know, Cole was excited to have the group together 10 days before the first game. And I think back to last season. Remember when the Washington Capitals were here to finish off the preseason and they stuck around in Columbus to do team bonding? Well, now the Blue Jackets have that opportunity to be together as a group. They've done some team bonding stuff. When's the last time you remember the Blue Jackets having their group set like that and really have the opportunity to become a family a week before the season?
John Tortorella.
Yeah.
He was infamous for putting two rosters together. Well, three when he had all the bodies. One was NHL, one was AHL, and then the other one was kind of just mix and match. And I forget the player he put on. Do you remember the player he put on the American Hockey League?
I do not.
Practice team here? But he was on notice, and it was only for a couple of days. But I tell you, it gets your attention when you're not in that main group. So I think he was the last one to do it. And it is a good feeling to be on that group and a terrible feeling to be on the other group.
Yeah, and for me, I think that's the biggest downside of having a, like, entering a season like this when you know your team, you know who's going to be there, and there's really no surprises that are going to happen. And even if there were surprises, you don't have room for him. To me, it's like, as a group, you just want to be together, you know, because the practices, like Jody said, sometimes you have an NHL group simply because as a coach, you want everything to be sharp from the get-go. And sometimes, you know, junior guys are coming up and they're maybe a little impressed with what's happening. They can't keep pace. As a group, you just want to be together. You know who's going to be there anyway. So that's probably the biggest downside of training camp with, you know, 70 players versus, you know, let's just start with 25. We'll cut to.
Well, but this is, in all honesty, though, this is what we're talking about for the future.
Yeah.
Because starting next year, the camps are shorter. The preseason schedule can only be four games. You're not playing seven. You're not playing eight. So there's not as much, there's not as many opportunities for young guys and for teams that are ready to go and are playoff ready type teams. I would think that's an advantage because if you're in a rebuilding phase and you want to look at a lot of guys, you're not going to have nearly the games or the time that you have had in the past.
Yeah. I mean, as a player, it's great, but excuse me, as an organization, it's awesome to have that one guy that creates a little bit of a ripple. Like in Detroit, did that seventh round pick make the roster? I think they have a seventh round pick that made the roster. And the last guy that did that in Detroit was Zetterberg. And, you know, it kind of gets your attention as a veteran guy. And that's a team that needs to take a major step. And they've added some pieces. I know Van Riemsdyk, I don't know if he's back in camp there yet because he had twins. But, you know, to have those players do that is great. I see the value of being together, especially with missing the playoffs by 2 points last year for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They know what they have. They built something special. So that hopefully is a positive here as they get ready for Nashville. I don't think they've played very good hockey yet. I don't think the veterans have really got to that level of, you know, there's a game, and Jean-Luc, you know, it's the 8 foot game. It's winning the puck. It's getting there first. It's not being able to make the perfect pass, right? The NHL is the small things and trying to get speed out of making even a good play or a good pass to get out of your own end. Hopefully those details from today's practice heading into tomorrow as they travel, the urgency ramps up because Nashville, the team they're playing first, they're going to be a different team this year.
Well, they have to. A lot of pressure, obviously, on the coaching staff and, you know, on Barry Trotz, honestly, because he made all these flashy moves a couple seasons, last summer, you know, bring in Marchessault and bring in Stamkos. But at the end of the day, to me, the strength of the Blue Jackets is down the middle, right? It's like we don't talk about Boone Jenner being our center anymore. And, you know, now Cole Sillinger is playing the wing. And you look down the middle for Nashville right now. Yes, they got some stars on the wings. But down the middle, aside from O'Reilly, it drops down pretty quick. So for the Blue Jackets, that's what I really like over what Don Waddell have done. Because 3 seasons ago, we were looking for a number two center.
Yeah.
Right? It was Boone Jenner. And then after that, it just dropped down. Now Cole did come in and you know, had a good growth. But now we got all these centers playing the wing. So what a great luxury it is for the Blue Jackets to have.
Yeah, it wasn't all that many years ago Nick Foligno had to step to the middle and play center.
And Patrick Laine.
I don't know if that was a had to, but he did.
That's right. Now Voronkov got the chance last game.
That's right. But to your point, that was always a position of need. It seems now to be a position of strength.
But be careful, and because, you know, we talk about Nashville. They won the offseason last year. They looked great on paper coming in. A lot of people had them predicted to do great things after a surprising year before that with a bunch of journeyman players to make the playoffs. And now last year it's disappointment, but it's like, you know, you can't be surprised on game one. And that's the coaching staff's and the veterans' focus here is like, just do your job. And do it as a team. You know, the closer and quicker they can play as a team. And I look at Washington. We saw them twice in the preseason. It didn't matter who the lineup was. They played the same way. And the Blue Jackets need to realize that right away here and jump Nashville.
All right, we're going to talk more about the Blue Jackets. And we're going to talk about the entire National Hockey League because this is the Blue Jackets season preview show. It's presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination. How many different ways can you consume morning juice? Let's see. Live on YouTube, live on The Fan's HD3 podcast on demand, and on 10TV Plus. And we'll send Bobby right to your house.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A damp finish with showers and a possible thunderstorm on this Tuesday. Temperatures in the mid to upper 60s. Overnight will drop back down to the low 50s. Breezy, cool, and dry. Start here Wednesday. Plenty of sunshine Wednesday, but breezy and cool. Temperatures only in the upper 60s. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Blue Jackets season preview show presented by First Merchants Bank. Bob McGilligan, Jody Shelley, Jean-Luc Rampier, and Dylan Tyre. We are all here with you to talk about it. We previewed the roster in the previous segment here, guys. 22 guys on the roster. Only 20 are going to be dressed on any given night. Which two are not going to be on opening night, I think, is a pretty good question. Let's look at the blue line. Jake Christensen had a great camp. I thought he was very noticeable. And the games that he played, he did a lot of great things. Last year, he played 68 games on the blue line. But one thing is for certain, during camp, you saw Ivan Provorov and Damon Severson playing together every time they were out there. So, Jody, when you look at the defense, there's seven guys. Which six do you expect to see on opening night?
Yeah, I would expect the six we've seen. And the Severson, Provorov, these two guys are on long-term contracts, and they're paid like a 3 and 4 defenseman. I know Matejchuk had that injury, so he comes in, and I like that it gives everybody lefty-righty. You know, Severson, I thought he had, I liked his camp at moments. I thought he had some good moments in game. I like that he's on the second power play unit. On the right hand side, he plays the flank almost in a one time position off to Provorov's left. I think that gave him a little confidence. If they can settle on that number two pair, I like it. I mean, it's good. I think it's a position that's going to be fluid. Listen, this is game one coming in. Jake Christensen is on an NHL contract now for the first time in his life, the one way. And he's earned that. He knows what he is. The coaches know what he is. It's a great player to have because they're going to need him maybe as soon as game two. So, you know, as we start this, we're going in, we're going to be in this, you know how it goes, guys. We're going to be in a machine here in a week where it's just game. And all these conversations are just going to move in and out seamlessly. But I think that's the six we start with. I think they're going to lean into Severson here, and it's his position at number four to keep.
I think knowing what Christensen is kind of the linchpin thing here, right? Because he played 60 games last season. He had a nice training camp this year. So, like, knowing you can fall back on Christensen is a nice thing. Obviously, he wants to play. He's pushing to play, and it's good to have that competition. But, like you just said, the wheel gets going here. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to fall off. You're going to get into the American Hockey League when it comes to blue liners at some point, in all likelihood. Like, I know we don't want that to happen, but it's probably going to happen at some point this season. I think, really, you know, I think a lot of the Blue Jackets' success on the blue line this season hinges on Damon Severson and him being a consistent guy, him just being that simple player that at times he's been here with the Blue Jackets, that he was with the New Jersey Devils. Like, he's being paid, like you said, to be a top three defenseman on this team. I honestly don't care about the money, but I'm with you. I don't like Severson playing righty-righty in a third pair with Eric and Branson at all. I think it's best suited that he plays righty-lefty with somebody. And the way that's going to have to work right now is with Ivan Provorov. So if he can just be that simple guy, I think it's going to make the Blue Jackets so much better. And, you know, he's playing with a guy that plays that way. Like, Provorov plays a very, very simple game. Like, he's a guy that retrieve the puck, get it out, get it up to the forwards. You know, maybe Severson can play a little bit more offensively if he's with that guy in Provorov, which I think suits him. He wants to do that. And I'm with you. I think showing him that you've got belief in him, and particularly belief in him offensively by putting him on that second power play, that should do some things for his confidence. So, you know, I think you've got to give him run this year. It can't really be a short leash with Damon Severson at all. You've got to give him some run and allow him to get that confidence. And, you know, if he's that guy for you, I have a lot of faith in the Blue Jackets, particularly on the blue line.
And, Jean-Luc, last year we got so accustomed to Denton Mateychuk, Ivan Provorov, two lefties on the same pair, and that was great for Mateychuk. But Eric Gudbranson was out for a good bulk of that time. So if you're talking about Mateychuk playing with Gudbranson, I mean, to me, you still have a very experienced guy on the other side. As Dylan was just talking about, where you have one guy that is really focused on defense, that's Eric Gudbranson, and Denton Mateychuk has a lot more offense that we haven't even seen yet in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, that's a great point, because last season when Denton Mateychuk first came up, remember, we're like, wait, where's that shot? Right now, third line opposition, most likely at home and away, on the road is going to be a little bit different, but he can handle those big minutes against top opposition if he has to, and then at home, maybe offensively, it gives him a little bit more leeway to do some things that we didn't necessarily saw last year. And then to go back to Jake Christensen, I think there's no doubt he's going to play 65 to 68 again this year. Like Jody said, it doesn't matter if it's illness, bumps and bruises, suspension. I mean, there's so many things, and somebody's going to get hurt. Let's not kid ourselves. You need at least 8-9 defensemen in the NHL today. So there's no doubt that Christensen, being like a, let's call it a 6B defenseman right on this team, he showed he can play offense, defense, he's reliable. And we know that Dean Evason has full confidence in him, so we will not hesitate to put him back in the lineup.
And keep an eye on Gudbranson. He didn't play a lot of hockey last year. He had a pretty big injury with that shoulder. How does he fit in and play with Mateychuk? He's at his best with a simple player. I think him with Zadorov in Calgary was his best year. He's got to be careful not to do too much out there. And Mateychuk, it's interesting because you're from Montreal. You know the Canadians. You know what's going on there with Lane Hutson and the mobile defenseman. To get Mateychuk more minutes on that third pair, I think he's got to take Provorov's spot on the second power play. But you said something interesting in practice. He's got to earn it. And that's what they did with Lane Hutson, didn't they, in Montreal?
Yeah, absolutely. And last season, you know, obviously they had Matheson running the power play. And then you could see Lane Hutson was coming. And by December, I'm like, there's no way he's not running the power play by the time we turn to a new year. And obviously that happened, and he ran with it, got the Calder. So I think for Mateychuk, that's going to be something else. They don't want to put too much on his plate right now, especially the fact that he missed part of the camp. But they know that that's probably the plan here. By November, he's most likely going to be running that second power play.
All right, let's get to the elephant in the room right now. Dylan, Igor Chinnikov, where is he going to play? The guy that had a trade request over the summer, he's got a new agent now. I don't know if he was happy. I would doubt he was happy the way he was used throughout this camp, especially when the team was set, even though he got to play on the top line in both of the Washington games. But Marchenko missed one, Monahan missed the other one. Where does this guy slot in?
Man, it's tough to find a spot for Chinnikov right now, isn't it? And when you were asking which forwards aren't going to play this season, you know, you were talking about who the scratches are, essentially. I feel like Chinnikov's got to start out as one of them, right? Like, I think he wants to play, I think, no matter where he slots into the lineup. I think the guy wants to play, but realistically, Chinnikov doesn't really work as a fourth line player, in my opinion. Like, would you rather have a dog on a bone type guy in Zach Aston Reese or a skill player in Yegor Chinnikov on that third or on that fourth line? I just don't think that makes any sense. It's hard to find him a spot, though. He's going to have to battle to get into the top nine, and you know he really wants to be a top six forward. But, I mean, you look at those wings. You've got Boone Jenner. You've got Dmitry Voronkov. You've got Kirill Marchenko. You've got Kent Johnson. Is it a battle right now between Chinakov and Kent Johnson to find a spot? To be completely honest with you guys, I don't love where they've got Kent Johnson right now playing on a wing with Coyle and Matthew Olivier. I don't really feel that fits Johnson's game the best, but where does Chinakov fit? I think it's going to be a matter of, does somebody start slow and Chinakov is able to get into the lineup and steal a spot? Or again, does somebody get hurt and that's how he finds his way into the lineup? And you know, hopefully when he does, he takes off, because I think he could be a really good player. But as it stands, I feel like Chinakov's got to be a healthy scratch on game number one Thursday night, right?
Most likely. And you know, it's interesting. And we talked about like, hey, Fort Line, does he really fit there? And it's funny because Montreal just did the same thing. Now they got Patrick Line on a Fort Line with Jake Evans and Josh Anderson. And you're like, how is that going to work? Because that's not their role. So for Chinakov, obviously he's probably not too thrilled to be on that Fort Line. But I don't, like you said, I don't think he's going to be starting game number one. I think Zach Aston-Reese is going to be there. This, you're going on the road. We know the struggle this team had on the road last year. Your fourth line, your third line are very, very important. So for Chinakov, it's going to be kind of like Christensen, right? There's going to be some injuries. Somebody's going to get sick or bumps and bruises, and that will be a spot to really go up on the top two lines, but maybe third line, but you know, he's not a fourth line player.
No. And you know, I think that's what they were trying to find out. Is he going to go out and blow the doors off the hinges and say, I'll do whatever I have to do to get in the lineup. I'll fight my way to get on that top spot. I feel like he's on the other side where he says, you know, I need an opportunity to show what I can do. And he's gotten some opportunities in this camp, but he's not a third and fourth line player. You know, if with line A, at least he's a power play specialist. He knows he's going to be on the number one power play, fourth line, number one power play, probably second. Or he's going to be on the power play at least. And then, you know, the for Chinakov now, there's no spot in the top six. It's interesting that Johnson has fallen out of the top six. I think that has to do with Cole Sillinger coming in, the way he's came into camp. He's earned that spot on that line with Fantilli, and they had some chemistry at times last year. And then you have Coyle, who likes playing with Johnson, and Johnson says he likes playing with Coyle. But for Kent Johnson now, I think that's a healthy competition. You know, that's somewhere where he likes to, he hasn't adjusted fully out of that summer hockey mode at times in this camp. And he's got to get back to that. Remember last year they challenged him to play straight ahead hockey. So he's got to get there. And for Cole, congrats, you know, good for him to get in that top six spot. He's going to be that's a valuable spot there. A guy who was a centerman who's now playing the wing, a guy who can take faceoffs when Fantilli gets kicked out, a guy that in the defensive zone understands the responsibility to a T of the low guy as a centerman. So I like the way those two lines have shaken out. But for Chinakov, yeah, no, I don't see him in the lineup unless he can, if he's going to play on the fourth line, which I don't see it, because the value of that is so big to have an identity fourth line. Hard to play against, keep it simple, chip it in, chip it out. He doesn't want to play that game. He wants to give the puck, get it back, get a shot, get it back, you know, make the plays. Interesting, like, Edmonton's looking for a winger up there with Connor McDavid. I mean, that guy with McDavid would be insane. So who knows if he does get moved. If he does, we know he's probably going to play in the top six somewhere and explode with points, but he just doesn't fit in on this roster right now.
Yeah, explode with points if he stays healthy. Jean-Luc, who starts in goal game one?
Oh, boy.
You're the goalie expert in this group.
Yeah, right now I'm thinking most likely they're gonna start with Jed Greaves. That's what I'm thinking. That's my feeling. Just the way he finished last season, had a good camp. You know, the way that the team kind of rallied around him late last season. You know, if I'm the coach, and obviously he's gonna talk to Nick Backstrom and all the other coaches, and it's a coach's decision, not just Dean Evason. But right now, as much as Elvis has carried the steam on his shoulders over the last few years, I think that you look at the end of the season, which, you know, a lot of time you talk about the end of season for young guys, it's kind of like your training camp. He showed that he can handle it. So I think right now they're going to give him the keys to the car until he shows that he can't handle it.
Yeah. And Dylan, I also wouldn't be surprised if they split him in the first two and let him play, and then he'll decide who's going to play in the home opener on Monday night.
I don't like that, though, honestly. Like, I can definitely see it happening, but this team appears to be serious about making the playoffs this season. I think, you know, I'm with John Luke. I feel like Jet Greaves has earned himself that opportunity based off of how he played last year, how he played in training camp. The team obviously loves playing in front of him. I think you give Jet Greaves the net until he proves that he can't handle it, right? Like, you got to let this guy run with it and see what you've got there. You know what you have in Elvis Merzlikins, right? He's been here for years now. You can fall back on knowing what you've got in Elvis Merzlikins. I think, you know, if you were serious about winning, you've got to see what Jet Greaves has. You've got to see if he handles it and go from there.
I think it's Jet Greaves game one, game two, and game three.
Yeah, I'm
and
with you.
I think that it's, if it doesn't, if something happens where he's, it's, you know, he doesn't look like he's got the net, then you look to Elvis. But right now, I think you're all in on saying this kid made this, made us look last year and played solid, and we know what he is. He's our guy. And I think that's how they start the season.
Yeah. And the other thing with Jet is, like, you look back at it, like his first start in Toronto, he's from Toronto. Like, he had some tough start, whether it's playing in Tampa Bay or in Florida. I mean, it's not like, you know, you had the Tuesday night in Anaheim or, like, you know, the Wednesday night in Buffalo. He had some really tough starts and he showed that he can handle it. So that's why, you know, sometimes you're like, hey, do I go with my veteran? We're starting on the road. Right now, I think the confidence level in Jet Greaves is so high that they're like, hey, he's showing us he can handle everything right now. Let's give him some more.
And it's not just what we see at Nationwide Arena when the lights are on. It's how he carries himself and how he's a true pro now. So it's, I think he's the guy.
All right. John Luke just talked about Anaheim and Buffalo. And coming up next, we're going to start breaking down the National Hockey League and what the other divisions look like and the teams that the Blue Jackets are going to face. Coming up as the season preview show presented by First Merchants Bank continues on 97.1 The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Hi, I'm Richard Mayford.
Can only mean one thing. The Capital Ford High School Football Game of the Week.
This week, Grove City at Pickerington North.
Live coverage starts Friday at 6:30. Your home of Friday Night Lights. The Fan.
Hey there, you've got
Jackets all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Blue Jackets season preview show presented by First Merchants Bank. It's time now to start to go around the league a little bit. And let's just start right at home here in the Metropolitan Division. Dylan, I don't know what you think about this, but to me, Carolina is the lock. Can Washington repeat what they did last year? Are the Rangers coming back? The Penguins, sir, they seem to be falling off. What do you see this division as?
I do feel like there are a lot of unknowns in the Metropolitan Division. And, you know, I felt like last year you thought there were a lot of good teams in the Metro, and then the playoffs rolled around and you were like, ah, maybe the Metro wasn't so good this year. I'm with you. I like Carolina. I think they're always going to be there. I feel like the Rangers have to be better than they were last year, right? They made some changes to their roster. They added some veterans. They, of course, have Igor Shesterkin, who's, you know, for my money, I think the best goalie in the NHL. You know, new coach in Mike Sullivan. I don't think there's any way the Rangers are worse than they were last year. They've got to take a step forward. You know, will the Islanders surprise people this year? You know, they've got a good goaltender in Ilya Sorokin, an exciting young roster, some changes there. It's going to be a very competitive division, I think. It's just tough to imagine things shaking up too much, right? You've got the Hurricanes. You've got the Capitals, who I think should be right there again. Will the Devils take a step back this year? I feel like that's a team that people have to have their eyes on. So, man, it's tough to really forecast, like, who's going to be in, who's going to be out in the division, but I do know it's going to be competitive, and I expect the Blue Jackets to be right there. I expect a similar year for the Blue Jackets, and they'll be fighting right along some of these other teams.
I think Carolina and Washington are going to be in the same boat. I think they're going to finish at the top of this division, the Metropolitan. The Rangers were only 4 points behind the Blue Jackets last year, 6 points out of the playoffs. If they're going to, and we, you know, we looked at it as a terrible season for the Rangers. They made some big changes. I think that they're going to be good. I think they've got some good pieces there. The Devils, I'm very unsure of. You know, Dougie Hamilton was out last year, I know, but to me, their size up front, I know they have a lot of skill. Their power play is going to be dangerous, but I don't know where they fit in. The Islanders, I think the only story out of the Islanders, and they're going to be a surprise. Of course, they're going to win games. They're going to play a different brand of hockey. They're going to be faster, more dynamic. You know, they've gotten younger. There's some good moves there. Pittsburgh, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang. They're going to have, there's a lot of pride in that room. There's going to be nights that they're going to win some games, but still their goaltending isn't shored up. But I think the top is Washington, Carolina.
Well, I'll follow up with Jody. Same thing here. Capitals, Carolina is going to be 1-2. Who will be 3? I mean, it could be the Jackets. It could be the Rangers. Could be the Devils. You know, interestingly enough, last season, only 3 teams from Metro made the playoffs. Right. Right? Everything in the Atlantic kind of swayed. And you're thinking, okay, playoff or bust for the Blue Jackets. You've kind of heard that. And you're like, okay, so who's going to come out?
Right.
Right? And it's really hard to look at any of these teams in the Metro in a way between the Caps, the Hurricanes, and the Devils and say, one of these 3 is not going to make the playoff. Now, things will happen, but you kind of need to dislodge someone, whether it's from here or the Atlantic, to get in. And again, I hate making predictions. I hope we get in. There's no doubt about it. But I can't take somebody out just looking at it right now because everybody feels good about themselves. It's the beginning of the season. We haven't played a game yet. And obviously injuries will be a big part of everybody's story. It's all about who gets out.
Well,
all
right. Think about the Atlantic, though. Like, Boston thinks they're going to have a bounce back year, right? Montreal expects to be better this season. It's tough, man. It is tough right now. Like, do the Panthers take a step back because they're without Barkov? They're hurt right now. No Tkachuk, but I don't see that happening either.
2 good goalies.
Yeah.
Toronto, what are they going to do? You know, they've changed their dynamic of their lineup. Marner's gone. Tampa sending a message down there in Florida that we're not going away with their preseason games. If you haven't seen them, check out the highlights. A lot of penalty minutes.
They look different.
Yeah, they look different. They do. Ottawa to me is a team that, you know, feels that they're going to climb there, but I don't see anyone that's separating now that Florida has those injuries. I think you have Toronto, Tampa, Florida, Ottawa, Montreal, Detroit, Buffalo, Boston. I'm not going to be surprised at any one of those teams make the playoffs because it's that type of year for Buffalo, Boston. Detroit has to be in a playoff race right up till the end. It's going to be an absolute scratch. The playoffs start tonight.
Yeah, that's where it is for me. Like, if you start slow, it's over. Like, you got to be in it from the start.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for Detroit, when you're talking about them being in it, I think they really have to be in it. The thought, if 3 years ago I said Steve Yzerman could be in some kind of trouble if they don't soon start to pick it up, maybe people would go, nah, come on. I mean, he's a legend, but it's getting to that point, isn't it?
Yeah, he's had a few coaches. I think Todd McClellan now is a first, like being in there for camp and being with that team, he's going to establish an up-tempo work ethic. They're going to be the mold of a playoff team. Whether you get the wins and losses, who knows? But most of the Atlantic is going to play the same way, and the top end of the Metro is going to play the same way, where every night is going to be just like a car crash. You know, it's going to be head-to-head, battle-battle, nose-to-nose, play for inches. Whoever blinks is going to have the loss and better win the next night. And it's the parity. I hear Gary Bettman talk about it all the time. It is real with the East, for sure.
Hey, even when he said he couldn't see any of those teams, like, honestly, Buffalo, could they really get in? I mean, 14 years of missing the playoffs. Can they, Jean-Luc?
Why not?
You know, why not? Unfortunately, they haven't even dropped the puck, and they have so many injuries on their blue line. Or, you know, with Kesselring, the guy they just got from Utah's hurt. Uka
Luukkonen
is hurt as well.
It's good thing we're not doing play-by-play.
I know, right? Alex Stuck is hurting right now. So, and then Owen Powers as well. So they're starting the season with 4 key players out already. It's going to be a big hill for the Sabres to be, you know, stopped.
Yeah, that hurts.
14 years? 14 years?
14 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going on 15. Jeez. Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to go out west and talk about the Central and the Pacific and what we think we might see there as the season preview show presented by First Merchants Bank continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. Just freak the hell out of someone. The Fan.
Hello, Big Voice Guy here. I've been hired to tell you all about the Fans YouTube channel. Did you know you can immerse yourself in Buckeye goodness like Austin and Burns' daily podcast, The Beat? Yes, sorry, Bob. Subscribe today. First, get in a Blue Jackets conversation. Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan, the Fan Ohio sports destination.
Just about to wrap up this season preview show presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan. Bob McGilligan, Jody Shelley, Jean-Luc Grandpierre, and Dylan Tyer with you. We have to talk about the Western Conference. And let's start, guys, in the Central Division. As I look at this division, you've got the Avalanche, their usual suspect. The Dallas Stars are two. The St. Louis Blues are always in there. Winnipeg Jets had a great year last year. My question to you is, there's been a lot of talk this summer about the Utah Mammoth.
Hmm.
And if they're ready to take this step and become a playoff team, Jody, do you see it?
I see what they're trying to do. I like the way they play. I am not sure. And I feel their owner is going to try to will their way to be in that conversation.
If I spent over $1 billion, I would too.
I don't see it. I just look at the other teams in the West and in the Central, and I don't know who, to last segment's point of Jean-Luc, who comes out. Winnipeg's going to be good. Winnipeg with Taves, I hope that works out the way they want it to. Dallas is a good hockey team. They messed up last year in the playoffs. Ottinger, they have a new coach now. I think that this is their window closing a little bit. I think this is a year for them to make that push. Colorado, yeah, they're good. Colorado's going to be good. St. Louis is going to be good. You know, but I think that Utah is going to be in the kind of the same boat, because I feel like they play hard, but they're predictable to play against a little bit. And I think that's going to hurt them.
I'm kind of with you on Utah there. I'm looking at their lines right now and just not sure they have enough in their bottom six. Like, if you compare the Blue Jackets bottom six to the Utah bottom six, the Blue Jackets bottom six, way more legitimate. There's more sandpaper. Yeah. There's more identity. I don't necessarily know if Utah has that. They added Brandon Tanev, which I think is a nice add. At the top, they're good. You know, they've got Mikhail Sergachev, John Marino, Sean Durzi. But Ian Cole, he's slotted in as a top four defenseman right now. That's a guy that, you know, people thought might be out of the NHL the last couple of years. I feel like that's a lot.
So that's because they moved Kesselring.
Yes.
And then they took in Paterka.
Fall forward.
They have enough skill up front in my mind. I know they need goals. Paterka can score. But I like their brand of hockey. It almost reminds me of Nashville. Not quite Nashville, because they went and got superstars. But Nashville played a tough brand of like journeyman hockey 2 years ago. And then they tried to change the dynamic. Picking up Paterka for Kesselring, it just changes too much for me.
What about Minnesota, Jean-Luc?
Well, that's the same thing. For me, I'm looking at Minnesota. They finished fourth in the Central last year, just a point ahead of the Blues, who had a terrible start. I think the Blues are going to be extremely good. I think they're definitely going to be top four over in the Central. Minnesota, I don't know. I mean, Kaprizov signed a big deal. He missed about half the season last year, but he's a guy offensively you have to respect. There's no doubt about it. And Minnesota is kind of like the way Bill Guerin assembled that team. It's weird. It's a weird team, but somehow they find a way to make it work every single season. And I don't know exactly what it is. Their decor is good. Their forward group is not spectacular, but it's effective. So
Kaprizov's really good.
Kaprizov is really good. There's no doubt, but it's a team that I don't know. They could be literally terrible, just like they could finish second, because I can't really make a educated opinion on them. Now we'll see them game two. So that'll be a nice bar to see where they really sit, but I don't know about the Wild.
I think they're dynamic. Their goalie's good. They just locked up Gustafson. I like the way their Eriksson Ek and Boldy and these young players have come in. Their D are mobile and fast. Spurgeon, he's their captain. He's not very big, but he's their, you know, one really small, effective defenseman who'll get that puck up. I like the way they play. I think they play with a pretty good attitude.
Yeah. The best way to say it is, like, can they get in the playoff, right? If they get in the playoff, it's a scary team, because it's a team that's really, you look at it, it's like it's built for playoff hockey, but it's like through the 82 games, can you really play that style? Because best example, the Panthers, you look at the regular season, it's almost like, hey, Let's just get in the playoff and then we'll worry about the rest later. They don't care if they're first, third, wild card. Once they get in, they're scary. That's how Minnesota's created, in my opinion.
In the Pacific, is this where there's opportunity? I mean, the Golden Knights are a lock. The Oilers are a lock. Are the Kings still a lock here? Are the Flames able to get in here? What do you think?
I think the Canadian teams are pretty interesting. Vancouver, I really like Vancouver. I don't understand why they were so bad last year, to be honest with you. Like, I really like their roster. And I think Quinn Hughes is super motivated there to get them back into the playoffs.
Well, they missed him. They missed Thatcher Demko for a while, too.
Right. I think the Kings might have a down year. They made some weird moves this offseason and got older in some ways. I know people are really high on the Anaheim Ducks, too. I just don't see it quite yet for them. And I just don't know about Calgary either. You know, Dustin Wolf is a really nice goaltender and kept them in a lot of games last year. I think he is a big difference maker for them last year. But I feel like Vancouver is the team for me that bounces back in a big way.
I'm with you. Calgary, Wolf, first year, no expectations, played really well, was in the running for rookie of the year.
Got paid.
Covered up a lot of holes, got paid. It's going to be a harder, it's going to be more of a struggle for him this year. And I could see Calgary on the outside. I think Vancouver is going to push into that spot. I'm not sold on LA. I like Anaheim. I like their attitude. I like what they've got with their young players. I think they're going to be better. They kind of know where they all fit now. Whereas before you'd see that team, they were young. You were like, well, what is this player? You know, and you kind of watch an organization go through that, but they've locked guys up long term. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch if you can stay up to 10:30 on a regular Tuesday night and watch.
You guys packed yet?
No, I'm going to pack tonight.
John Luke?
Nope. I don't even know how to pack.
I still don't know how to pack. It's like, what am I doing? I'm leaving for two games. What do I need? Of course, the essentials, but do I need a suit and two ties?
We got to get rid of that dress code. We got to get on that player plan.
We're not doing
player that. Player plan. That's right.
Then you got to put your suit in a bag.
Yeah. Do you go carry on? Do you go suitcase? I mean, it's still
for no, days. You go carry on.
Carry on. All right. Don't be that guy, right?
No. Because if something happens, well, unless you have extra shoes, you need, like, some guys like to bring extra shoes for every outfit. I mean, I do see guys, I travel with broadcasters, that they bring one jacket, one pair of pants, two ties, one shirt for two games.
One shirt for three games.
I'm not into that.
I'm not into that.
But they wear an undershirt, like a t-shirt under their dress shirt that protects it, I guess. I don't do that.
Yeah. One coffee spill away from disaster.
Oh, no. I've seen, I think it was Ray Ferraro we were in Winnipeg. And he just spilled coffee on his shirt. He says, man, this has to last me for two more days. But when he buttons up his jacket, you can't see it. So, man, you're good. You only see like that old ESPN commercial where the reporter puts on the rock star t-shirt you only see the middle part of it. So that's why I like our dress code. Tie covers up some of the stains. So does the jacket. I think we're good.
Shoes are never on TV. It doesn't matter.
Right. You can wear your Crocs.
Guys, thanks. This has been a lot of fun. And I'm happy we're going to get to do this every day for the next 6 months and hopefully beyond that.
Yeah, it was great, Bob. Thanks. It's exciting. It's an exciting time of year. We don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? We're all we'll be right into it 1 week from now.
All right, that's it for the season preview show. Thanks to Jody Shelley, Jean-Luc Grandpierre, and Dylan Tyre for joining me tonight. Bob McElligan. Hoping that you have a great start to the regular season, which gets underway on Thursday night in Nashville, 8 o'clock puck drop between the Blue Jackets and the Predators. You've been listening to the season preview show presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan.
Hey there, you've got a
.com.